Ready to go. Okay. Good morning. I'm Susan Drummond, the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Today is Thursday morning, April 4th, 2019, approximately 9 a.m. We have one item on the agenda. That is the Bakers Hillsides Estates preliminary plat major amendment number 17-02233. Originally, we had two items on the agenda. The other item was a shoreline variance, but that has been tentatively rescheduled for April 25th. So it's just this one item today. The order of procedure this morning will be as follows. We will hear first from the planning department. The planning department will provide a summary of the proposal. Then the applicant will have an opportunity to present on the proposal. Then we'll open this up for public comment. Anyone who is here who wishes to testify on the proposal may do so. The applicant will then have an opportunity to address any questions or concerns which arise. Planning department may have clarifications, and I may have questions throughout. So I think with that, we'll let the planning department go ahead and get started. And I have reviewed the staff report and attached exhibits on this, other excepting one and 1A. I didn't wasn't able to. I'm working with the clerk on that, but. Good morning.
Good morning.
If you could state your name for the record.
For the record, my name is Meg Sands, planner with the Department of Community Development for over 25 years.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
So I'd like to enter into the record exhibits 1 through 31, which you already have copies of, and there is a physical copy of the PowerPoint if you want to look at that as opposed to.
Ms. Walson gave me a copy of that.
And then I've got several more exhibits to enter into the record. This
Okay.
has to do as a result of emails largely yesterday. So the first one, we got a request from Mr. Coleman with regard to various conditions because they had a chance to look at the staff report and they had comments with regards to that. So there have been some modifications to the conditions. I will address those shortly.
Okay.
But so I'd like to enter into the record that email exchange with questions and comments with regard to certain conditions and then the county's response to that.
Okay. All is one exhibit then? Or two.
Yes, that's an email chain. Yes,
okay.
As one exhibit.
So that'll be exhibit 32.
The next item is I had requested some information with regard to the active recreational facility area and the portion that's 5%. There was an issue with regards to that condition. So that's the next exhibit.
Okay.
Information from the.
That will be exhibit 33, and those are all admitted, 1 through 33.
The next one is regarding an email essentially that originated from Christine Geis, which is in our Public Works Traffic Division. And it has to do with an issue of sidewalks and when we require it on one side or both sides. And I'll address that a little bit further in detail. But part of it, the issue with the email, is that essentially they're looking at current code, and this project is vested to ancient history code.
Yeah.
So I'll address that further.
All right, so that's exhibit 34 then. Okay.
And then the last item to enter into the record is a modification to condition 40. So you'll see information about condition 40 in the first exhibit that we just added to the record, which was 32. And this is further changing condition 40. So this
okay.
The last one will be the condition 40 that we're putting forth.
Okay, so that'll be exhibit 35 then.
And I would like to mention that there was a request this morning that I received by email from Mr. Coleman to add another document into the record, but we have since had a discussion. Largely the email that is from Christine DeGeis was partly what he was requesting, and another document that's from the road standards, which is not particularly applicable because it's not those road standards that are in effect. But the issue has largely been resolved with condition 40. So we indicated that we're not putting that into the record, and Mr. Coleman's in agreement
okay.
at his request.
All right, 1 through 35 are all admitted.
So with that, I would like to go through the specific conditions that we wish to change,
okay.
just to outline those for you now. So the first one, and again, if you look at exhibit 32, it's really addressing them, and it's outlined there. So you'll see what the condition is that staff is putting forth versus what's outlined in the staff report currently. So with regard to condition 30, That had to do with the original plat configuration and access to the lot that is kind of on the west, southwesterly position. It's outside the plat now through a boundary line adjustment. So it had to do with an issue of how access was going to be provided to that lot. There's an existing easement. That easement will be in place. It remains in place, and it's really covered by Condition 73. So we're indicating that we're deleting Condition 30. It's no longer applicable.
Okay.
Condition 40, that's the last exhibit that you have there now, and it's basically outlining that sidewalks will be required on one side. I'll cover that in a little more as to the reasoning and rationale behind that, but essentially sidewalks are required on one side of the internal roadway system rather than both sides. Condition 43, that one is being modified, and it really is an issue of dimensional standards. The code does not specifically outline parallel parking on the road and what that dimensional standard is. And 8 by 20 is acceptable. It's just not specifically stated in code anywhere. Mm-hmm. The only standard that I have in Title 17 back when this vested is a 9 by 20, which is a standard without being on the roadway system, because the curb kind of functions like an additional foot in a sense. So that 8 by 20 is acceptable and is a standard that we use regularly today. Okay.
So 43, the proposal is to change that from 9 to 8.
Correct.
So
and with that, I'd like to note that we are modifying Condition 42. So that's being changed to just be very clear. And Condition 42 has to do with the two parking spaces that are required per lot. And that standard space is 9 by 20. It's covered in code. But just to be clear, because we changed 43, we wanted to be very clear about 42, so there's no question.
And 42 would be, I'm sorry, you said 9 by 20. Okay, got it.
Yes, standard 9 by 20. So Condition 47, that has to do with a recreational facility that is being modified. Essentially, they are providing a much larger area than generally would be required back when code was established. And the condition that had been placed in the staff report was outlining a 5% grade or less across the whole facility. We're modifying that only the active recreational portion needs to be. The condition was modified in your exhibit that you have there. It was adjusted to 9,500 based on an email that I had from Mr. Coleman that was providing an estimated range. It's actually the active area is going to be a bit larger than that. That is at 5%. It's about little more than 10,500. So there's no real issue there in that context. And we're just outlining that the 5% grade is over the active portion, not the entire tract.
Okay.
Condition 53, there's no change, and I've outlined kind of the background with regard to that, but just pointing that out, there was a request to change that, and we'll wait to hear from the applicant whether they want to address that further. With regard to Condition 55, it has to do with tree spacing, and it, again, is based on the type of tree that's going in. It's kind of somewhat of a range. There was a request for clarification. And Condition 56 goes back to what the code outlines, and the code kind of specifies spacing, so we're relying on that. So that's just pointed out there that there's no change that staff is making to Condition 55, and we believe it is covered by Condition 56. Condition 58, there is no change. What we're kind of indicating that we don't think that there's any conflict or issue, and it will really be resolved through SDAP review. And again, we'll wait to hear if there's any further comment from the applicant. Condition 70, we have modified that further and made it simpler yet so. And that condition will read as grading quantities and volume of import-export will be evaluated during SDAP review. And if conditions warrant, a vehicle wheel wash shall be included as an element of the siltation erosion control plan. Don't believe that there will be any issue with the applicant with regard to that, but that can be discussed further as outlined.
Okay.
So those are the modifications to the staff report. With that, I'd like to go ahead and just go through the PowerPoint to kind of give you an idea of where we are in Kitsap County and how things kind of fall on the ground. So here's a shot kind of a wide angle view, and you can see the tiny little green spot that's outlined. Those are where the parcels are located. So it's kind of somewhat northeast of Dyes Inlet. That's the main water body in the center of the parcel. And then as we kind of move further in, kind of a neighborhood view, so there's only one access to get into this site off of what's commonly referred to as Wagga Way or 303, State Route 303. And then as we kind of move in further, there's the critical areas. So you can see, again, the outline parcels. There's no critical areas. There are some in the general vicinity, but there's none on the subject properties in question. The only one I did not provide a screenshot of is the critical aquifer recharge. It is a Category 1 critical aquifer recharge area. However, for residential development, it's not considered to be any issue. It doesn't require any kind of special reports like other kinds of uses, such as car repair kind of thing. But it is mentioned in the staff report, and there was an additional condition added, the very last condition in the staff report 81, just to make it very clear, so that if there was anybody on one of the properties that wanted to do some activity that could be controlled by that, then there would be additional review potentially required. So it's really to let members of the property owners that may buy into the plat that there's that condition, but we don't expect any issue. So this is just kind of coming in a little bit closer view. You can see that there's a mobile home park to the south. To the north, it appears that there's not any development right there currently, but there is activities going on. You may be aware of the Red Barn project, which is kind of to the northeast, and virtually direct northwest is the Hogan Heights project. So those are in the works as far as potential development and site development activity permits. The track and field area that you see there kind of to the northwest, that is Ridgetop Junior High, and there's also Silverview Elementary School that are to the north. So one of the reasons for sidewalks being an important feature for this property is that there's a potential for kids to actually walk to the site. And the Hogan Heights project is public roads, and there's also an access way to the school to connect to the school. And this is just bringing you in kind of a closer view to see the existing vegetation that's on the property. We expect that vegetation to largely be removed through the development of the project. And then I gave you a Google Earth just because it gives you a little different feel for how the vegetation sits on the property, but it's just another view for you. So this is letting you know what the current zoning is. Zoning has changed in the last 15 plus years. So it's currently zoned urban medium, but at the time of this project and what it's vested to is urban low. And that's kind of what's generally for the other projects that have gone forward that I mentioned were urban low. And so here's the project layout. You can see that there's essentially two access points for the plat itself. There's a third access point which serves that lot in the southwest corner, which is not part of the property. And so those parcels that are on the west side, I think it's 1 through whatever that number is, 16 maybe, that they potentially could access the back side of their property through that easement. But essentially they're coming into their lot from the east side on that particular lobe, and those will be private roads that are serving those properties. You can see that the recreational facility is somewhat centrally located at the very south end of the property, and then the stormwater facility is in the southeast corner. And then I provided a shot of the landscape plan. So this will modify somewhat with regard to the recreational facilities that will be required, and that will be reviewed through the SDAP, Site Development Activity Permit. But you can see that they provided appropriate streetscape landscaping with street trees along the roadways, and then around the stormwater facility. I would like to point out that CEPA review was done with the original project. We re-reviewed based on the checklist that was provided with this major amendment. And a CEPA addendum was done. There's no appeal period for that. So the decision on CEPA is final. This project is actually expected to be a little bit less intensive because the number of lots have been reduced. The layout is obviously not the same, but it's somewhat similar in certain regards. And there will be less lots overall because of some of the changes. There was a public comment that we received through this application. It's outlined in the staff report. I believe you had a chance to take a look at that. Mm-hmm. And in the context of the one access going in, we still look to comments from the state, WSDOT. There were no new mitigation required for this project. When you exit this site, you can only go to the right and to the north, and it has an acceleration lane because you go up this hill in order to kind of leave the site. So WSDOT has looked at this, and there is no new requirements for any kind of traffic mitigation light, et cetera. I think that I've covered all the conditions that require modification. If you have any questions, we can kind of go over those in further detail. But with that, I think the staff report outlines all the elements for this project, and that as a result of all the information that's outlined in the staff report, the Department of Community Development recommends approval of the preliminary plat amendment, this major amendment for the Bockers Hill Site Estates, subject to the 81 conditions outlined in the staff report with the modifications that I've mentioned here at the hearing. And specifically, condition 25, we want that actually to be taken back to the original hearing examiner condition. So I'm going to read that to you. It was modified because we thought it provided greater clarity. The applicant had some concerns about that. So we are totally find it acceptable to go back to the original hearing examiner condition. So I'm going to read that to you. It's on page 16 in the staff report. So you can rely on that to modify what I have at the end of the staff report to go back to the original hearing examiner condition if you so choose. And so what that condition states is the applicant shall install 2-foot shoulders outside the driving lane on the south side of Northwest Hogan Lane from the end of the sidewalk to be constructed east to the intersection of Nels Nelson Road. If adequate right-of-way exists to construct this improvement or extensive existing improvements preclude this construction, Kitsap County will determine an alternative mitigation prior to SDAP approval. This is an item that was discussed prior to the hearing with the applicant and engineer, and they prefer that we go back to the original hearing examiner condition, and we don't see that there's any reason not to. We felt that the change to condition 25 just made it more simple, but their concern is if there could be any issue with regard to the right-of-way dimension, that this would allow for flexibility, and we're in agreement with it. We have no objection to that issue.
Okay. I did have one question on the internal sidewalks. You had said one side instead of, I know it's pretty typical to do on both sides.
Correct. So if I go back to the site plan, you will see that sidewalks are presented on one side on the site plan of record. And if you want to really see it, I have the original, which you can view as opposed to, I apologize for the resolution on this. But so they've presented it on one side on the site plan, and so we find that that's acceptable.
Under the code as it existed, yes. In 2007?
2005 is what it's vested
okay,
to.
Okay, right.
So let me discuss that just a little bit in detail. So in 2005, and we do have the road standards here if you wish, and you have as part of the record, Title 16. It is not specific or provide very much detail. So in Title 16, it says that appropriate provisions will be provided for public safety, et cetera. So we can see that as a public safety issue, but it provides no clarity as current code Title 16 does, and it addresses that in more detail. In the context of the road standards, again, it doesn't even specify a very low volume roads, which it does today. And so as a result, we looked at that. We kind of looked at what we would have done at that point in time when this project vested, as well as what does current code say today. Current code kind of looks at if you have less than 480 average daily trips on a roadway, so each one of these access points you could see is a road. There's track D, which is the easterly one, and we're just going to call it road B for the sake of example. They kind of separated it out a little bit, but road B. that both of those have less than, each individually has less than 480T. And we consider that such a relatively low volume that providing sidewalks on one side is acceptable.
Okay.
We don't object if they want to put it on both sides. Mm-hmm. In this case, they do not. So
okay.
That's why the stipulation that we have outlined there. And then, as I've mentioned, conditions 40, 42, 43, 47, and 70 would be revised as you have in Exhibit 32.
Right. Okay.
Do you have any questions for me?
Nothing further at this time. Thank you. Did the applicant want to present? Good morning.
Good morning.
If you could state your name for the record.
My name is Mark Coleman.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
And I will tell the truth.
Thank you.
I swear to tell the truth. Okay. My name is Mark Coleman. I'm with Team 4 Engineering, and I've worked on this project for quite a while, and I've been working with the current applicant for the last year and a half or so to get this project to the point where we are today. I want to thank staff for their work in preparing the staff report, for their presentation today, and their willingness to discuss our concerns about some of those conditions. We're pleased with the conditions as they're written, and we accept them as they're currently been presented by Ms. Sands.
As just outlined and provided in the exhibits this
Correct.
Morning.
Okay. Correct. Okay. So the project is 9.27 acres of area, something like that. 60 units on it. They meet the bulk density requirement of the original zone of low density. With this modification, the original approval was a kind of a two-part program that had attached housing and detached housing, and so the whole thing was working together in terms of utilities and road connections and things like that, but they were going to be different projects. The current applicant is looking at all detached houses. So we have dropped the total amount of houses from the original proposal from 75 down to 60 currently. And I think that played a good role in the SEPA process that, you know, we're basically reducing impacts rather than increasing or even modifying the impacts. So these will be detached homes, and, you know, I just wanted to say that the sidewalk on one side was very, very important to us because the houses that we have to fit on there would be damaged by losing 5 feet of additional right-of-way on these three roads, and that would have been the result of a sidewalk on both sides. So that was a very important issue for us in this proposal. And I do understand what Meg was talking about in terms of the variations between the 2002 code, the 2007 code, and we are in the 2002 code, and the direction was not very clear in terms of sidewalk placement and things like that. But in those days, even though it wasn't in black and white, the very low volume road standard was an important consideration when Public Works or Planning Department was looking to see if there should be one or two sidewalks. And the definition of a very low volume road is 480T or less, and both of these roads comply with that. So we're very thankful that we've got that resolved, and we hope that you can accept that resolution.
You said 2002, I think it's 2005, is that? That's what I've got.
We made our application in 2005, and if I'm not mistaken, the road that we're vested to, or the road standards in place at that time, were adopted in 2002.
Okay.
But I can clarify.
I'll let planning step boarding.
Meg has always
sure.
been very good on those kinds of details. So I will walk through some of these conditions of approval just to verify that we're all in agreement with them. Number 25 was previously discussed, and what we really wanted was to retain Public Works' flexibility to get the appropriate mitigation if the right-of-way was not available. And we felt that there's nothing lost in retaining the original provision because it requires the same thing. It just gives us some flexibility if the property owners on the south side of the road haven't dedicated sufficient right-of-way in that location for the full set of improvements. We agree with the deletion of condition number 30 because that property in the southwest corner continues to have a legal right of access there. 40, I've already discussed the sidewalk on one side. Parallel parking is, and Ms. Sands says it exactly correct, the parallel parking standard has always been 8 by 20 for the county, and that's fairly standard throughout all the jurisdictions on parallel parking. The 9 feet is consistent with angle parking or perpendicular parking, but not parallel. With regard to condition of approval 47, as I recall, our open space area is actually more like 28,000 square feet, but a lot of it is sloped. Mm-hmm. We wanted that recreation amenity to be accessible from, I'm going to call it all three roads. There's the two cul-de-sacs, and then there's the Hammerhead Road, and we have pedestrian connectivity from all three of those roads. Well, they come in at very different elevations, so it was a bit of a grading challenge to get access into them, but we ended up with about 10,500 square feet of 0 to 5% type sloped area. And so that will be very good area for us to place two recreation amenities, and we don't have any problem with that. I think currently we're thinking of a big toy for the younger kids and a sport court for the more junior high type kids. We accept condition 53. Just wanted to chat about that one a little bit. We discussed internally whether that 6-foot board fence was still appropriate, but I will say again we're accepting that as a condition of approval because a lot of developments want fences in the backyards anyway. But we didn't think it was necessarily important this time because the original approval was for attached housing. It was very near the maximum density in a low-density zone. So that's where that condition originally came from. Now that it's been rezoned, the properties around us are probably going to develop at a higher density than us, but we're still accepting that condition as proposed. I did ask about the condition of approval number 55. The interval spacing of trees at 15 feet. And we've only done that in locations where the driveways say I can't get them to fit at 30 feet or whatever. But one of the things that I've always been concerned about as an engineer is the site distance for entering a roadway. We're very concerned about everything except street trees. Street trees seem to be acceptable things in site triangles. And I find that if I've got them as close as 15 feet, they start looking like a picket fence. But in discussions with Meg, this is not any different than what we've experienced throughout the years, and so we're okay with the condition of approval. I just wanted to let you know why I questioned it originally. And a little discussion on condition of approval 70, which has been revised. In this, the current status of this application is a preliminary plat. Preliminary plats are conceptual. But we always want to give data that is a placeholder for when we're in the SDAP. And one of the things that's a requirement of the SDAP is to talk about grading quantities. So we included that, and at this point there is a significant imbalance on the site, some 9,000, 7,000 yards or something like that. But in the final design, we always adjust grades to balance that. If it means a lot comes up 0.2 of a foot, we do that in the SDAP. So in a discussion with staff, we said this is how it's going to work, and that the decision for a wheel wash ought to be based on the parameters in place at the time of the SDAP application. And they have accepted that and modified the condition accordingly, and we're grateful for that. One of the things that RCW requires is written findings, that we must make written findings of a number of conditions, of a number of topics. And staff has included in their findings number 5, basically a statement that these provisions have been made. I always take a little time.
On which page are you?
That was findings number 5, and it starts on page 20.
Oh, I see. Right.
Okay. And it basically is the verbiage that's in RCW 5817.110. And as you read through the other pages in advance of that, you know, she explains that sewer is available, water is available, solid waste people are available. But I thought I would just take a moment and go through them individually for the record. It must be a proposed subdivision shall not be approved unless the county makes the following written findings. Appropriate provisions are made for public health, safety, general welfare, and for such open spaces, we've got a nice recreation amenity. We've got drainage ways. We're complying with Kitsap County Code Title 12 in terms of stormwater management, so that's been provided for. We've had a lot of discussion on streets and roads. These roads in this project are private. Public Works prefers plats now to have private roads rather than public roads. It gives us a little flexibility in curb styles and things like that, and we use that in only one instance in this. We have a standard curb and gutter with the sidewalk side, but we have a thickened edge gutter on the other side, and that really gives us a good advantage for placing driveways where we need them. But provisions have been made. There was no request from Kitsap Transit for a transit stop, so none are provided. I don't think Kitsap Transit comes up this road at all. Potable water will be provided by Silverdale Water, and there are conditions of approval that require removal of any of the existing residences from their Class B systems. So that's covered. Sanitary sewer is provided. Parks and Recreations will be paying impact fees for Parks and Recreations for services beyond what we're providing inside the plat. We've done playgrounds. There will be school impact fees for the schools. Sidewalks was a discussion, and we've been through that with the low-volume roads. And safe walking distance for students who walk to and from school. This applicant owns the property across the street. Ms. Sands talked about it in mm-hmm. terms of access to the school, that this project connects to Hogan Lane, which right across the street is Hogan Heights, which is also a project of this applicant, which is going to be breaking ground probably next week. So that project is well ahead of us, and it provides the last link for any students that want to walk safely to school. So it's been provided for, even though it's not in full existence at this time. With that, I would ask if you have any questions of me.
I do not at this time.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything further from the applicant? Good morning.
Good morning.
If you could state your name for the record.
Eric Clark.
And you swear to tell the truth today.
I do.
Thank you.
I also just wanted to echo thanking staff for working with us over the last couple of days. We reviewed the staff report when it came out and had some questions, and it was a challenging thing to get through that in just a couple of days, but we did it.
And yeah, it sounds like it was a bit of a rush.
Appreciation, yeah. Too. Yeah. So, thank you. That's all I have.
Ms. Sams, did you want to provide that one clarification? Or
yes, I would.
Okay.
So, with regard to the road standards, this project, as I mentioned, vested in 2005. The road standards that were in place for that project are the road standards of 2003.
Okay.
If you need a copy, we can copy it, scan that, and send it to you. But I don't think that there's really any great value to you.
I do not want the entire code. I may ask the hearing examiner clerk if I need excerpts from it, and then that
Absolutely.
Can be provided.
We can provide that.
Thank you. So at this point, we will open this up for public testimony. Is there anyone here who wishes to provide comment on this project? And did we have a sign-in sheet, actually? You can go ahead and step forward. You, my guess is you all are the ones on the sign-up sheet. No, there's nobody on there. Oh, okay. And I'll need to have you testify one at a time rather than a... If you could state your name for the record.
James Miller.
James Miller. And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do.
Thank you.
Basically, just like our other concerns regarding the Red Barn development that we first met.
Yeah, I recall
back,
that.
Yeah, back in, I think, what, July 13th of 2017 or something like that. We're still having issues with that, and we're going to go after this meeting to Department of Community Development voice our concerns. I know Mark Coleman dealt with him, tried to help us out with our drainage problems when he was working the Whispering Meadows project, I think. So back to this development, it's just like the Red Barn and all these other future ones. One thing is regarding the traffic. Right now we're having issues where they're using our private road for access to the Whispering Meadows because they're cutting a sewer line in through their Solstice Road. So, and then with this development, I don't understand this 480 trips per day as low volume, because once the Red Barn development is finished, and it's 68 homes, so I'm just calculating there's probably two vehicles per home. That's kind of like on average now. And then with this development, with 60 homes, two cars, this 480 trips per day is not. And then you still have the mobile home park that's been there for a while. So I think that there's going to be, and then there's only one access to and from Nelson Road, and that's coming from the north side of 303 exiting. And then the entry, you know, you have to go all the way. So say if you needed to get to Nelson Road and you're on 303 South, you have to go all the way to Central Valley, cut across, and that road is starting to back up too. There's a fog line there that allows access for some vehicles to make a right onto Central Valley off the off-ramp from 303. But legally, you're not supposed to do that. So the cars are backing up, and with these developments and the only access to and from, it's just going to get worse. And I don't understand why they're not trying to address that. They did repave the Nelson Road probably back in, what was it, 2011 or 12. And before they repaved it, we had lines on the road, so you could, for the traffic. But since then, they've never put the lines back in, and I think it was due to probably they considered low volume, a low volume road, so they didn't need these lines anymore. Anyways, that's, you know, and garbage, you know, right now we have lines of garbage cans because they're all private roads. Waste management doesn't go up them, so you have to bring your refuge and recycle down to the corner of Nelson. I don't know how this development's going to be, if they're going to allow the trucks in there, or are they going to have to line them up on the road too? Because right now, when I go pick up get our garbage containers, I go around and pick up all the garbage that's either been overloaded in the cans, and I just pick it up because nobody else is going to pick. And our along our private road, when we first moved there back in March of 2010, I did notice that there was a public works crew that went down through there on the west side of our road, Nelson Road, and cleared out all the brush to make sure all the drainage was clear. And because I guess they have service lines, whether it's water, gas, sewer. But since the Red Barn project, they have not come back and did anything. And we're still having flooding issues, but, you know, I think the last time we showed you that one tree that was leaning over, it finally fell over this last snow thing. So we've got to get that cleaned up. There's still a wired fence with black plastic that was temporarily put there because of the water that was coming down when they first built the Red Barn project, and it's still there. We've asked the Red Barn people to, or not Red Barn, but the Whispering Meadows people, they're, what do they call that, for the home association, to please remove that because it's unsightly. It's right in front of our driveway. And they said they couldn't do it because it's part of the drain. You know, maybe Mark can come by there someday and take a look at that and see why it still was left there. Appreciate it.
Where do you live in relationship to the project?
We live.
You can clarify.
I don't know how you. Mm-hmm. We live right.
You can start with
the left on Hogan.
If you can give me the address, that would be.
Oh, it'd be 10296.
Okay.
Who's on here?
Pardon?
Can you see your lot on this image?
Let's see here. Where's the Hogan Road? It's going to be, okay, see where that, right up at the top right there?
Oh, no. Hang on one sec. Technical difficulty. Okay.
So here is Hogan Lane.
Right. So right there on the corner there.
Right here?
Notice how that one road to the right feeds off. Yeah, we're up that road there.
Okay, so you're maybe north of this location
In fact, we're right across from the 13 home development. It's just
you're probably on here, but being able to see it on here is a little more challenging. So you're right in about this position here.
Right. There's like 12 homes. We're the second one, so it's probably that second house. So.
Thank you.
Had an opportunity to meet Rob Gilder, you know, county commissioner, and his entourage. Oh, this was, I don't know, two, three years ago. They came out and actually physically listened to our issues and stuff. But we haven't seen anything other than this new development.
You can step closer to the microphone.
Sorry.
I really get worried sometimes if you're too far away. It won't capture
everything. We haven't heard anything yet on, you know, the traffic, the garbage, the noise. It's, but we know we can't stop progress. I know they were talking because of this hospital being built that they needed people, you know, housing that was close by for the people that are going to be working there. So it's just, and then you hear a lot of complaints even with on the Ridgetop Road because of all the road improvements, you know, and the roundabouts that they're putting in that they people that live off there say are too narrow. You know, a fire truck can't even get through there if you're already in there. And if you have to pull over for an emergency vehicle, they said basically you have to get up on the sidewalk. Then I just read something about they were going to build a senior citizen retirement community up there on Ridgetop, too, which is going to, it's like a 90 home community development or retirement place. So that's going to even bring more traffic. But. And then the Kitsap Transit, you know, they're going to put their transfer station right across from the hospital. So it's just going to get worse. And I don't know if the county has even thought about, you know, road improvements and like we're concerned about. Thank you for listening to me complain.
I know some of your concerns certainly are more policy or legislative matters, but you have raised concerns as well that are relevant to the project.
Right.
So.
And there is that hill coming down from Hogan where that development, where the development is being proposed or has been approved already. That's a kind of a dark, it's dark around there, and our neighbor was also bringing up about how people come down that road real fast, and you got kids riding their bikes and stuff. And I don't know, maybe a three-way stop sign would be appropriate for that, and some street lights too. You know, to kind of brighten up that area. anyways, I'm about done. Do you have anything you want to say? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. If you could state your name for the record.
Holly Smelser.
Could you spell that?
H-O-L-L-Y-S-M-E-L-S-E-R.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. My main concerns are the same as his, but I just wanted to make a little bit more understanding where we're coming from as far as the traffic. Like they said, I mean, I can't believe they're saying that there is no need for, you know, they say it's low traffic or whatever, but then now it's medium urban. I mean, you know how things always seem to work out best depending on what you're talking about for everybody else. But there's one way in, one way out of our area. So now you're adding on 68 houses to the Red Barn area. We've already got 13 new ones for the Whispering Meadows. We've got 60 homes, which they're saying they're reducing that from 75 to 60, but when this was originally proposed, it was supposed to be 48 homes in that on that other side of the Red Barn area. I don't know where Red Barn or whatever Heights came from. This is the first I've ever heard of that. I mean, you're looking at, since we've been living there, we've had, you know, the trailer park has been there. On the other side of the road, there's one house down below, one house on the old, you know, on the main Nels Nelson. And then there's, like Jim said, about 12 original houses that have 2.5 acres on average to an acre of land. And those houses have been there for years as well. And then up past the road that goes up that hill, there's original houses back there too. So you're looking at, I don't know, I've never counted, I would assume maybe around 20. So now you've got those houses, these houses, the trailer park, and you've got 68 for the Red Barn, 60 for the one across the street that the Baker's Hillside, and then I don't know how many for the whatever Baker's Heights or whatever is going to be in there. So, I mean, you're looking at least, and then the new comp, you know, the Whispering Meadows. So you're looking at least, what, 141 houses new in that area. And so we're all supposed to access, and that's not including garbage trucks, school buses, you know, any kind of community buses, visitors for people, you know, and we're all supposed to go in, and the majority of them are going to work, you know, either right there on Ridgetop Road, Ridgetop Way at the hospital or whatever, or in the shipyard, or they're going to be sailors. So, and so you're looking at one in, you know, coming in and one egress, and that's supposed to be acceptable for, I mean, it's countless, the amount of trips. And in the morning, it's going to be insane trying to get to work. And then, like I said, there's, you know, nobody has mentioned anything about lights. We should have the right-of-way because we are the far left road. And so we should have, you know, we should be able to come out. These guys coming down the road, I'm not sure about that. I imagine we'd have to, because we can actually see them coming. But then Whispering Meadows, we have to have the right-of-way because we can't even, they're back here by the time they see us before we see them. So yeah, lights, garbage. I mean, we've already got, like you said, the lineup is unbelievable of garbage. And then there's, and I don't know who I need to report. You know, they're very disrespectful of our area. You know, they just draw lines everywhere they want. When they were doing the Whispering Meadows project, we had built or had planted several, I think, 21 Leland cypress trees because they grow like 3 feet a year, so they were expensive. Well, they put one of the last ones was closer, you know, I think on the other side of the transformer that they tapped into, which is also a problem now because they've got all these houses on our one little transformer that fed all of these houses. So now we lose power every year. But anyway, so what they did in that project, they pulled the tree out. They literally took the tree to get access, clear access to the transformer and a bush that we had planted in between the trees for, you know, to take up the distance between each trunk. So they took that bush. Now this time on the other side of the transformer, they felt free to go up there and break the branches. So now there's a branch broken there. And then we're talking, you know, they can't pull the tree out anymore because it's too big. But they just broke this branch, and now you've got free access to the transformer, even when you're driving by. That's how, you know, open it is now. And they broke the branch on the other side. I don't know, maybe to look make it look like it was an accident or something. But there is no other damage or no other, you know, and they did. I know they did it. So anyway, the disregard and the, lack of compassion. I know that's not their job, but, you know, they're still human. So anyway, I just wanted to make it more realistic for you to see what we're dealing with. And, I would implore you to come down and look and bring anybody that might be able to help us to see the reality of what we're looking at.
What was your address?
10296
Nelson Road,
Northwest. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, do you have any questions about my explanation? Did I explain things right?
Yes, I understood what you're saying. So.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here from the public who wished to provide testimony this morning? Let the record reflect that no one else has indicated a wish to testify. So at this time, I'll allow the applicant to address questions. Did you all want to take a short recess to discuss anything first? Or? And if you could state your name again for the record.
Eric Clark.
And you remain under oath.
I just want to quickly address, I'm not sure how well I can address any of the questions that Mr. Miller and Ms. Smelzer brought to the table, except I will tell you that we do care as a developer about the neighbors, and you'll find that out when we start building. We're going to be building both the Hogan Heights and the Bockers project. I want to take an opportunity after this meeting to introduce myself to you, give you my contact information, so that if you do have concerns about anything regarding our project or the neighborhood or anything like that, you'll have somebody to call, and I will address those concerns. I can't guarantee that I'm always going to be able to satisfy.
You can make sure. I know you're trying to get some information.
I can't guarantee I'm always going to be able to satisfy the neighbors, but on a few of the things that you brought up, such as speeds on those roads, if there are anybody that I have control over, a contractor, anybody like that, I will take action on that if I hear from you that there's a problem. We do run into that. Subcontractors get in a hurry sometimes, and they kind of forget about that there are other little kids around and that they're neighbors, and so I will address that. That comes up frequently on job sites that I have, and I'm used to addressing that. Garbage collection, we will be, both of these projects will have garbage collection on the site, so there won't be a line of garbage cans along Hogan Lane. But I guess overall, I just want to. One other thing: the damage to the trees around the transformer. I wish I had more control over that sort of thing. I wish I had more control over Puget Sound Energy, and unfortunately, I don't. But anything I can do to help with those sorts of things too, I would extend myself. So I will make an effort to introduce myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything? If you could state your name again for the record.
I'm Mark Kuhlman with Team 4 Engineering.
And you remain under oath.
I'm under oath. I just want to make a couple of comments, too. From what James said, it sounds like that's an erosion control fence that's a remnant from the original construction of the Whispering Meadows. I will go by and confirm what kind of fence that is. These erosion control fences are interesting. We have to put them in when we're developing the plat, and they're supposed to stay there until all the area is stabilized. So the original developer is gone, the home builder's in, the erosion control fences need to stay there. They are required by code to be removed within, I think it's 2 years of the last house, some number like that. We often see this problem in that everybody's gone for 2 years and they don't think to come back. So if that's the case, I will visit that and we'll make some arrangements to make sure that the Homeowners Association at least knows they can take it out. Okay. A little clarification on the low volume roads. We're talking about the roads internal to our project, or the low volume under 400 ADT. And just for a little background, I was keeping notes while they were talking. Whispering Firs or Whispering Meadows is 13. Red Barn is 68. We're 60. Hogan Heights is 60. I don't know how many are in that mobile home park, but I guessed 80. And then there's probably a dozen homes up the extension of Nels Nelson that James and Holly live on. And I think Holly mentioned there's probably 20 homes further up the end of Hogan Lane. That's adding up to about 300, 310 dwelling units existing and potential. With a trip generation volume of just under 10 per house on those numbers, we're looking at about 3,000 cars per day on Nels Nelson Road. A standard two-lane road starts out at 10,000 cars a day standard capacity. You add or subtract based on amenities. If you've got a center left turn lane, you add. If you've got a sidewalk on both sides, you don't have to subtract anything. If you've only got a sidewalk on one side, you make some subtractions. But a road like Nels Nelson is probably qualified to handle 6,000 cars a day. So as much as a change as it is, we're still within the parameters of what those roads can handle. And so I hope that that helps some on that. But I will swing by and look at that fence and figure out what should happen to it.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anything else from the planning department on this?
The only thing that I would mention, because there was a discussion about lights, is that there will be light standards at the entry points of both roadways. For this project. So I don't know that that's going to necessarily control the concerns about lighting in general in the area, but there will be lights provided at each access point.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
I will mention one other thing with regard to street trees and site distance. So we ensure that adequate site distance is provided, and in fact the engineer generally has to provide a document that shows that site distance is being met. And we don't allow for obstructions that are going to be a problem. Generally, street trees you can see around, but in some cases, the position of them may need to be altered slightly in order to ensure that site distance is protected. So that's something that we evaluate at the time of site development activity.
Thank you for that clarification. All right, is there anything further? Okay. Thank you all for your testimony and input today. I will take it under consideration. A decision on this will be out within 10 business days. That will be sent to the examiner clerk, Ms. Walston, and then she'll forward it to you or to the applicant. And then we have if you wish to receive a copy of the decision, and the email address is on file, she can send that to you if you would like a copy of that. Is there any other procedure questions? Anything else to address today? Okay. I think that's it. We are adjourned. Thank you all.